my great pleasure to welcome you this morning on behalf of the Vince alumni. First of all, of course, I told to Rabbi Kupchik for arranging the wonderful program, which I think is certainly grander in nature than previous programs and will benefit us all, as well as those who will benefit from the tapes, which are Baruch Hashem now working. It's my great pleasure to welcome you this morning on behalf of the Vince alumni. First of all, of course, I told to Rabbi Kupchik for arranging the wonderful program, which I think is certainly grander in nature than previous programs and will benefit us all, as well as those who will benefit from the tapes, which are Baruch Hashem now working. These workshop sessions are taking place as part of the GIMDI program for enhancement of professional rabbinics, of which I have been a personal beneficiary with Rabbi Lamb visiting me, and for that I'm grateful. And I think that we should all be appreciative of the benefits that we accrue from yeshiva, both while we're here and while we're not here. Among those benefits, certainly, are the tapes which we receive from rabbinic alumni in the continuing educational program. Among those tapes, certainly, are those of Rabbi Blythe. Rabbi Blythe is known to us not only through those tapes, but also through personal questions we may have asked, through his many articles in tradition on contemporary halakhic problems, and his books of the same name. And I'm happy, as I'm sure you all are, to hear that there's a fourth edition, a fourth volume coming out shortly. Rabbi Blythe serves as the Rosh Kollel of the Kol LaHora'ah and also professor of Talmud at Yeshivas Rabban Yitzchak Elchanan. He will address us this morning on the topic of resources on halakhic literature and recent halakhic publications. I believe that these particular workshops are beneficial not only on a professional level, but certainly also on a personal level of our personal growth in Torah, which we encourage our Baal Batim to have, certainly even if we do not expect to use these workshops for the benefit of our Baal Batim, which probably we also will use them for our personal benefit. It's with great pleasure that I introduce Rabbi Blythe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Frankly, I don't quite understand what I'm supposed to be doing this morning. And when I was invited to make this presentation, and I went home and I told my wife of my perplexity, she answered and said, "What's the big problem? You did it once before." And she reminded me of something that I had totally forgotten. Many years ago, when I found myself in Russia, I had a very strange experience. For reasons that need not be addressed right now, I did not tell most people who I was. I didn't lie either. When they asked me my name, I said my name was Rabbi Menachemsky. My father's the friend of Rocha was Menachem, so that makes me Menachemsky. I should hold it. Something I did. One person I did tell my name, and that was Elio Esses. And he responded by looking at me and saying, "Are you the Rabbi Blythe who writes in tradition?" And it didn't take me long to discover that he had read every single line that I had ever written, including the most recent issue of Tradition. And I was asked to speak to a group of people in Moscow and to tell them what resources are available in rabbinic literature so that they would know which svarim to ask for when further people came around. I was asked to make this presentation in a living room in which I discovered not the last volume of the Hebrew Summation, but the one before that, which I had not seen in America. It was published in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it got to Brooklyn by the time it got to Moscow, but it certainly hadn't gotten to Manhattan. These were people who were very, very familiar with what was available in Svarim stores, etc. And I was asked to tell them what's available in halakhic literature. I feel rather foolish doing things like this, because what you really need is someone who is a bibliophile or a professional librarian and has made some concerted effort or attempt to familiarize himself with what has been published in recent years, and I certainly have not done that. All that I can do is, what I've tried to do for you, is to go through my library and to make little notes with regard to the svarim that I found on those shelves, and to tell you a little bit about some of them. I certainly cannot do justice to the title by presenting some type of analytic overview of what's available. To present an overview of what's available would be impossible, even in a two-day conference, let alone in a one-hour session during the course of that conference. But something very interesting has happened in recent years. If you look back in terms of the development of halakhic literature, there have been tekufas. Going back to the Chasimus Mishas and the period of the Tekufas Hagoinim, you have an early period of tshuva literature, the Tshuvas Hagoinim. Afterwards, there's a period in Rishonim in which you have two separate types of literature developing. One essentially compendia of Piskei Halacha, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and another type of literature which is essentially explicatio de text, Perush on the Gemara, Rishonim, who attempted to explain the meaning of the text. And then later in the Tekufa of Achronim, you have the development of what is more analytic in nature, an attempt to delve more deeply into the Tirush of Baal Peh, and the development of cases, Piskei Halachi in terms of tshuvas, and much, much later, particularly during the period of the Lithuanian yeshivas, you have the development of shiurim that are presented thematically rather than in terms of an explanation of any particular halacha or even on the Seder of the Dafei Hashas. And then, lo and behold, post-World War II, there is an entirely different type of literature. I will not say that material of this nature did not appear before, because certainly it did. But it didn't appear the same way. We have a mushrooming of what I would call encyclopedic literature. Of course, there was a Stechemet before, but not that much earlier. And then you find the encyclopedic works like the Encyclopedia Talmudis, like what was compiled on Ibn Ezra, and to a lesser extent, only four or five volumes on Chazon Mishpat, etc., etc., and those you all know about. I will not even talk about them, things like the Torah Shleima on Chumash. But post-World War II, you primarily find a development of monographs devoted to particular areas of halacha, each one a sefer dealing with a particular miktsaya of halacha. And there are so many of them that it's virtually impossible to keep it abreast. There is a new one published, if not every day, certainly every week. And one can only stop to ask oneself, is all of this really necessary? There is one remarkable tshuva in the Neida Yehuda, in which someone had written to him with regard to some earlier tshuva that he had written, and this person had a source or two which he found to contradict the statements of the Neida Yehuda, and the Neida Yehuda responds by saying that the source quoted, he calls him an achron, what in the tkufa of the Neida Yehuda was an achron, and says that ein darki la'ayin b'divrei Rabbeinu ho achronim. הלוואי שיספיק הזמן לעין בשעס ופסקים ובדברי רבי סיינו הראשונים. The lady Buddha wasn't interested in all of these materials, and he adds one more consideration and says, and even if he had the time to look, umayofe achroso miachroseinu, why should I bother? It makes no terribly great difference. I'm perfectly prepared, says Lady Buddha, to analyze the problem in terms of a shas, play scheme, and rishonim. We certainly can't make the second statement of the Nei Rabbi Yehuda, but the first statement is absolutely correct. Alavai fiyaspik hazman la'ayin b'divrei Rabbi Seinu hakadmeinim, including the earlier Afreinim rather than the authors of contemporary times. Nevertheless, each one of these seems to me to be tremendously significant, not so much for what the Mechaber has to say, but for the footnotes. And my approach to a great deal of this literature is to ignore the Sefer totally and completely, and to use it for Mara Mekoymes. And as far as I'm concerned, if anything that I have written has any value to anyone who is a Yodei Ravle B'Shas U'Peiskim and somebody who is a Yila Hiroe, it's only in terms of the Mara Mekoymes, a place to look, because it is virtually impossible to be a Boki in all of the areas that one must be proficient in terms of Psak Halacha, and to be familiar with the vast material that has appeared even in previous generations. And if somebody can save a little library time for a contemporary reader by compiling sources on any given topic, I think that I owe him a debt of gratitude. So that in terms of what has appeared recently, the material is tremendously important, if for no other reason than it saves a vast amount of time, and time permitting, I'm going to come back to the time element at the end of my remarks. What I will try to do for you this morning is simply to present a list of some of the things that I have found value, and I'll begin with some of the collections or the compendia that may not be known to everyone. The standard works, the ones that have been around for a period of time, I presume everybody is familiar with. I would draw your attention to the Eitz HaShaulos V'Tshuvos on Orach Chaim, which now is in 6 volumes, going through Hilchos Pesach. I presume there will be at least one more volume, maybe more. This is nothing more than a series of Mara Mekoymes on the order of the Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim, simin by simin, sif by sif, simply telling you where you can find Shaulos V'Tshuvos dealing with the halachas that are cited by the Mechaber. I am purposely going to avoid all of the kitsurim that are nothing more than kitsurim, because I find, with one or two exceptions, that they aren't terribly profitable. In fact, I will draw your attention to one of them. One of them is a sefer that I discovered in the Merkus Dvarim only a week ago, day or two before Purim. I discovered what I believe to be is the first Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, written before Shlomo Gansfried. The author was, the name of the title is Shulchan Shlomo. The author was Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was the Rav in Mir, going back I don't know how long. I haven't had time to go through the material completely, but I found it to be very impressive and a great deal better than the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I'm not in the business of suppressing books, but if there was any sefer that I could suppress, it would be the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I find that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was a very valuable sefer. The Shlomo Gansfried was a very significant pesik in his own right, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was the least significant of his svarim. The Lechem B'Simla on Hilchos Nida is much more important. He wrote other svarim that are tremendously significant, and in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for Amir Eiroa, he was an achron like every other achron, and there are cases in which he disagrees with other achronim, and his position is significant, but the problem is that he disagrees with other achronim where the consensus is not in accordance with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and many people who are exposed only to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch seem to think that he is the basic achron. I'll give you just one example. Nishpa Hanke Tachman was a little bit younger. In my shul, I had a balabos who was a yeshiva graduate, high school yeshiva graduate, and he considered himself to be a boki in Kisur Shulchan Aruch, and that of course means that he knew a great deal more than the Rav. So that on Rosh Hashanah morning, he went running around from one balabos to another, telling the balabatim what an amoritz the Rav is, because the Rav is falling kerim, and here's the Kisur Shulchan Aruch that says that only the chazan falls kerim on Rosh Hashanah and not everybody else. He didn't know it, but I have some facility in lip reading, and I knew exactly what he was telling one balabos. And he was, I waited until after Olenu, and I finally called him over, and I had a copy of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with the Mizgeres HaShulchan. And I told him, I know that you know how to read the big Osius. Do you know how to read the little Osius? Look in the Mizgeres HaShulchan, and you'll see that he collects all the ones that disagree with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And by the way, even the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that it's forbidden to be mafsik until the very last Kiyas after Musaf, and going around in the middle of Malkiyas or Kranus and Shafers with this isn't exactly halacha, even in accordance with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But that, be that as it may, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch itself certainly has a certain value, but as has been pointed out over and over again, one certainly cannot paskin shilis from Kitzurim. And there are many kitzurim that have appeared on the market, and for the most part, I'm going to ignore them. I do draw your attention to the Shulchan Shleime, which is a much more comprehensive work than the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, primarily because, if I'm not mistaken, this is the Shulchan Shleime that the Mishnah Berurah quotes and quotes repeatedly, and I had never seen the Sefer before, and it's certainly a very valuable source, although perhaps somewhat a little esoteric. I will make one exception with regard to what I said about kitzurim, and that is an entire series of little svarim that have been published by a Rosh Hashiv and Var Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, and I make exception in his case simply because he has written little compendia on a number of topics that are really esoteric and with regard to which there are very, very few sources available. I'll give you just one or two examples. He made one little sefer with regard to Dinei B'nai Noach. Now, I don't know how often other people get shilus with regard to Dinei B'nai Noach, but in earlier years, and now more recently, I have gotten many such shilus. In the early years, it happened because in my neighborhood, there are people who used to walk in off the street saying they wanted to convert to Judaism, and what does a Rav do? A Rav has to talk them out of it. In a few cases, I was successful in talking them out of it, but I had to also tell them about Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And then some of these Fromakin, these Goyish Fromakin, began coming asking Shilas in Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. And as long as you're dealing with Jews, a person asks a shaila. If you know the answer, fine. If you don't know the answer, there's a library. Go look up the question. You'll have an answer. If you're dealing with goyim who are asking shailas, if they want to know how to be makriv a korban bisman hazeh, so if you go through the Mishnah Lamelech in his parish on the Rambam in Hilchos Avedos HaKorbanos, there is a wealth of material dealing with B'nai Noach and the Heter Bome for B'nai Noach and what a B'nai Noach can do, what he can't do. But if he begins asking Shilas and Aver Menachai, is he allowed to eat spam, or is there a problem with Aver Menachai with spam or not? The only source that I was aware of was in the Chemdes Yisroel of Mayor Don Plotsky. He has a whole kuntres devoted to Hilchos B'nai Noach, but beyond that, very, very little. And Rabbi Yoel Schwartz has made a very valuable compendium in the form of Kitzuri Halacha with regard to B'nai Noach, but it certainly does not mean that the Hachroa is a Hachroa Seifis and that there may not be disagreement or Mokam Lihizgader, but at least it's a place to start. I mean, Yonah Deyema, he also has a little sefer called Chomis Mashihu, which is a nice little compendium on Hilchos Pesach, and in many, many other areas in which material is not readily available. But in terms of these various monographs dealing with particular topics of halacha, there are many that are extremely valuable and are very important for Piskei Halacha Bizman Hazeh. I'll begin with by far the most important of these. It's a little work called Yalkut Peter Chamor. I don't know if there is a cause and effect relationship, but I'm sure most Rabboni must get at least 3 or 4 Shilas a week with regard to Pidyon Peter Chamor. I know I read about it a couple of months ago, by now it's probably over a year ago, in one of the Anglo-Jewish newspapers, in some kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, there was a Chamor that was born as a Bechor, and there was a Pidyon Peter Chamor, and lo and behold, a couple of months afterwards, there's a Sefer that appears on the market, Yalkut Peter Chamor, a thick Sefer, dealing with Pidyon Peter Chamor. My wife complains, for reasons that I don't quite understand, she doesn't like svarim piled on the dresser in the bedroom unless they're hers. And she complains when I buy svarim, and I always answer that I don't buy a sefer unless I absolutely must have it. And then she walks to the dresser and picks up this Yalkut Peter Chamor and says, yes, and what about this? To which I responded by saying, no, even the Rav has to learn Torah Lishma sometime. That's one of the more esoteric svarim that has appeared recently. In another rather esoteric area, at least for city dwellers, there has been not one, but no less than 4 svarim dealing with the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. One is called Kan Tzipor, and the other is called Kan Tzipor HaSholem, and a third is called Shiluach HaKan, and the fourth is a little kitzur for Rabbi Schwartz, Ein Albonim. 2 of those are very thick, heavy svarim, 2 of them are thinner svarim, and they are absolutely encyclopedic, dealing with the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. Another one of the svarim in that area, which is extremely important, is a sefer made by the son of a Seipler. It's called Nachal Eson on Egla Arufa. This is a folio-sized volume. It's very thick. The Kehil Heirua is now about to embark on a new program. In addition to Yodin Yodin Smiche, Meheri Yibone HaMikdosh, and with the Chiddush HaSanhedrin, we need people who will be Roy L'Smiche, who will know all of the halachas that requires a Bezdin of Smuchim, and the next program is going to have the Nachal Eson as a prime text in order to know all that has to be known with regard to Egla Arufa. Another sefer that is much less esoteric, but another example of one of these encyclopedic monograms on a very small area of halacha is a sefer called Tzilusa Dechaye on Tfilas Haderech. And another one, which is probably even more significant, is a sefer called Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Maybe it should be pronounced Mechalkel Chaim Bechosed, because it's a whole sefer dealing with whether the correct nusach is Mashif Ruach and Meirid HaGeshem or Meirid HaGoshem. It's a very significant shaila, and there's a whole sefer devoted to that. I am fully expecting that I have not yet seen a sefer devoted to Asher Yotzar. I expect that to appear in an art scroll edition, and there are many shilas of Asher Yotzar that require considered attention, artificial excretion, etc., etc. All of that material could be compiled, and it certainly would be an important and a choshuv sefer. But put these esoteric things aside, and let's deal with things that are probably more fundamental and more basic. Since it's now after Purim, before Pesach, I suppose I ought to begin with Inyone Diyema. And while I'm supposed to be talking about areas of halacha, but I suppose, you know, not I suppose, it's Akshar Dora. Today there are more Rabbonim saying Shabbos Gadol Droshes than ever before, and it's certainly a very good sign. But I speak from experience. Certainly if somebody is saying shiurim on Cheshen Mishpat, or he's busy learning the Goyim and Olas, and it comes a week before Pesach, and that's a great night, Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, it's a little bit difficult to be mechadish on the spot in Hilchus Chometz, Umatze, etc. So just if anyone is interested in sources that you can be kind of machinely or use in some other way in a Shabbos HaGadol Bilbul, there are a number of things that have appeared recently that are certainly valuable. Of course, everybody is familiar with the Meidim Muzmanim, of Rav Moshe Sternbuch. There are now, I think, 9 volumes. Several of them deal with matters of Pesach, Chometz Matzah, etc., and those are certainly significant. There is another series of svarim that has appeared. It's called Teiras Refoil, and each one of the Yomim Tovim, longish material on the various Yomim Tovim, including Pesach. There's one that just came out on Purim, and it's certainly a valuable source material. Also, I would recommend, if you're not already familiar with it, there's a Sefer Maseis HaMelech that now came out on the Rambam. The Mechaber is one of the Kaczynskis. Also for Rabbonim, he wrote a Maseis HaMelech on Chumash, which is Lomdish Shalashudas Torah. It's extremely good, and it's a very, very valuable source, not for Piske Halacha by any means, and certainly not for garden variety style of Drush, but it is a very valuable Sefer in its own right, and I would certainly recommend it, even if it were not useful in terms of preparation for public presentations.
In terms of halacha, insofar as Pesach is concerned, there are a number of svarim that are significant. Before Pesach comes Tainas Bechirim, and there's again a thick sefer on Tainas Bechirim. If you want to know whether a siyum on one sefer in Tanakh constitutes a sudas mitzvah, you can find sources dealing with that there. Of course, he doesn't go into other areas of what constitutes learning for purposes of a siyum. There's a remarkable story told of Reb Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. Reb Tzadik apparently used to fast every day, and he never ate other than from a sudas mitzvah. So every day he learned the masechta and made a siyum at night. One day he didn't feel well and wasn't able to complete the masechta, so he asked if there was anybody in the Beis Medrash who made a siyum, and somebody said, yeah, he just finished the masechta, so he called him over, and he wanted him to make the siyum with him so he would be able to eat from a sudas mitzvah. And as soon as the person finished, he asked him, and how many times is there a machlekes abaye and rove in the masechta just completed? And of course the person couldn't answer. And Rav Tzadik, the story goes, didn't eat that night and said, "Das heißt nicht gelernt." That's not a siyum. If you can't remember how many times the machlekes abaye and rove, that's not a sudas mitzvah. I make no further comment, but the sefer on Tainas Bechirim is certainly significant. There are two other svarim dealing with matters that are of interest to Rabbonim. One of them is called Mechiras Chometz Kihilchoso. It's a sefer on Mechiras Chometz alone. A second one I call Da Mashetoshi. Its name of the sefer is Mechiras Chometz Be'orev Kablon. Those of you who are aware of the Machmirim, who demand that there be an Orev Kablon in the Mechiras Chometz, may or may not be aware of the fact that there were others who not simply didn't regard the Chumrah as being necessary, but maintained that it was a Chumrah to also the Dekula. So I call the Sefer Dama Shetoshi to Lubavitch, who insists upon an Orev Kablon. You will find a very detailed discussion of all the tzedodim of the Shilas, the pros and the cons, and you know, it's a valuable sefer in its own right. Insofar as the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of Hilchos Pesach are concerned, there are two significant series of svarim, sets of svarim, that have appeared. One is called Eitzer HaHaloche Kolen Pesach in 3 volumes. Another is called Sidur Pesach Kihilchoso in 2 volumes. Both of those are certainly significant with regard to Hilchos Pesach. With regard to one aspect of Hilchos Pesach, but by no means limited to Hilchos Pesach, Hagolas Kelim, there are a number of other svarim, including a sefer called Hagolas Kelim and one called Magle Eliyahu. There are others. I'm simply giving you the ones I consider to be the most significant. And if one is talking about Hagolas Kelim, then there are svarim dealing with Tfilas Kelim as well. One is called simply Tfilas Kelim, and the other is the same sefer I spoke about before, the Magle Eliyahu, that deals with Tfilas Kelim as well. Now, I have not referred at all
to the svarim that deal with the hakrova of a korban Pesach, and the halach is makrivim apa pishein bayis, and after 68 when the mokam hamikdash became available to us, a number of things appeared dealing with the hakrova of the korban Pesach bisman hazeh, whether it's possible to be makriv the korban Pesach bisman hazeh, or it's not possible to be makriv the korban Pesach bisman hazeh, including one sefer in which the author comes to the conclusion that of course you can be makriv the korban Pesach, and there's a chiyuv to be makriv the korban Pesach, and accordingly, even though he lives in Yerushalayim, every year of Pesach he leaves Yerushalayim, so he should be bedera for cheika and not incur the onus of having abrogated the mitzvah of hakrovas korban Pesach. And if one is talking about Pesach and the mitzvahs associated with Pesach, there is one sefer, if I remember the title correctly, it's called Birchas Eilonis, with regard to the brocha on the Eilonis in the month of Nisan, and it's a sefer that it should be valuable, at least in some circles. I hear tell of at least one institution in which the menial of a day school every year takes the children out in the courtyard to make Birkas Eilonis. The only problem is that the tree in that courtyard is an Elon Srak on which one doesn't make the bracha. So that it's certainly a source that is important for one particular mikzvah of halacha. And after Pesach comes Svira, and of course there are three svarim, each one a thick sefer. One is called Svira Soime, the second is called Bein Pesach Le'etzeres, and then a third one with the innovative title Mitzvah Svira Soime. And I'll leave out svarim dealing with Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Shabbos, that's the name of one sefer. And when we come to Rosh Hashanah, I'll leave all of that, Kia Shafer, etc., etc. On Sukkis and the Mitzvah of Arba Minim, there are a number of encyclopedic works that have appeared in recent years. One of them is called Arba Minim, dealing with the Mitzvah of Arba Minim. The other one is called Anaf Eitz Ovos, that's a thinner Sefer. And with regard to problems associated with the building of the sukkah, there is a thick work called Sukkas Sholem. If you want to know about using mats, etc., for tzach, you'll find all the sources there, and a thinner sefer called Sukkah Kihilchoso. Not to speak about svarim dealing with Rosh Chodesh, for that we have two. One is called Oilas Chodesh, and the other is called Chodesh Bechodesh. Those are all svarim that are, of course, of interest to Balabat, to Rabbonim, but they are essentially svarim that deal with matters that are important for every Jew, for every Balabos. Insofar as Rabbonish Shailas are concerned, and the topics that seem, for whatever reason, to be of most interest to Rabbonim, there are a number of areas in which a vast number of svarim have appeared in recent years. I'll begin with Mila, and of course the classic, what has now become the classic, is the Sefer HaBritz of Rabbi Peretinsky, who himself is a male of many years' experience and has spent a lifetime devoted to Hilchos Mila, and the Sefer HaBritz is a monumental work dealing with all aspects of Mila, quoting virtually everything that has appeared with regard to all the shilas pertaining to Mila, including use of the clamp, jaundice babies, etc., etc. There is another sefer that I have found valuable. It's called Nachal HaBris. It's a much smaller work, but one that contains an analytic discussion of many shilas associated with Mila. In addition to that, there is a sefer called Oitzer HaBris, not to speak about the reprint of an earlier small compendium called the Bris David, which once upon a time was more or less the standard sefer with regard to Hilchos Mila. And then two svarim, little svarim, that have appeared in recent months, not even years. Neither of these has been on the market for more than a couple of months. One of them is called Mol Veloy Pora, written by Rabbi Nasha Klein. dealing exclusively with the practice of Nilu Priya Keechod, which is now become the vogue among Moyalim, not for reasons of halacha, but because everybody thinks that a Moyal who does the job quickly is a good Moyal. The faster he does it, the better a Moyal he is, and Nilu Himastat, and you clamp the Arha Nilu and the Arha Priya together and cut it, it goes a lot faster. In terms of the halacha, I don't know of any particular heder in doing this, but I do know that the Beis Yosef quotes the practice of the name of the Chachmei Yavon. It's a practice that was around for a long, long time. There are many people who have objected to it. The most significant objections, as I can see, are based upon Tamim Alpi Chochmas Hanistar, Taimim in Kabbalah. There are Midrashim that speak about each of the Dvarim of the Guf and why the Rabbanim Shlomo created them. And the Tzipornayim, the fingernails, Chazal tell us, were created for doing the Mitzvah of Priya. And if you can do it with the Moel Maser, if you can do it with the same knife, then you don't need fingernails. So why the Rabbanim Shlomo create fingernails in the first place? The Sefer Mo'avoloi Parah deals with Milu Priya Keechod, whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. And the Mechaber obviously thinks it's not acceptable, but even those who think it's acceptable ought to give equal time, at least in their learning time, to the others as well. Then there is another Sefer that has been around, at least as far as I know, for only a matter of weeks. It's called Bris Kruso Lisfotzayim. It is a Sefer dealing with Mitzitze Bepet. And this has become a topical issue because of AIDS, and I certainly don't want to talk about the questions or the halachas associated with mitzitza, whether it requires bepeh or doesn't require bepeh. That is dealt with in the Sefer Bris Kruso Lisfotzayim. The only point that I would like to make is that whether or not mitzitza should be done bepeh or shouldn't be done bepeh, the AIDS epidemic does not seem to me to be a reason not to make mitzitza bepeh. There are other ways of dealing with the AIDS problem, particularly within the community that is desirous of mitzitza bepeh. First of all, there is a blood test that can be administered to the mother, if not in pregnancy, even after birth has taken place, and the results can be available before the bris, and if the mother turns out to be negative for the HIV virus, there is virtually no chance whatsoever that the baby is infected. Secondly, I am reliably informed by the Commissioner of Health of the State of New York, as well as by the Center for Infectious Diseases in Atlanta, Georgia, that 70% alcohol kills the AIDS virus. There is not 99-sicker, which is not available in a liquor store, but there is 152% rum that is over 75% alcohol, and alcohol in that concentration, I am assured, if the Moyal gargles with it before and after the mitzitza and takes care not to swallow it, he will be able to protect himself without in any way compromising his ability to perform the mila. So much for Svarim dealing with Mila. Of course, after Mila comes Pidyon HaBen, and here there is a Sefer which is not new by any means, but it's newly reprinted. It's called Yalkut Pinchos, which, at least as far as I know, is the standard Sefer on Hilchos Pidyon HaBen. There are other compendia that also deal with Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, among other things, but the Yalkut Pinchos seems to have been the classic Sefer on the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. There are also two other Svarim of recent vintage dealing with mitzvahs kahuna in general. One of those is called Eitzer Dinei Kahuna, and the other is called Keser Kahuna. They deal with Pidyon HaBen only there in Agav, but they deal with other matters pertaining to Kehanim, and those are certainly important works in their own right. And then I suppose Rabbonim are always concerned with Avelus, and there are many, many Kitsurim that have become available recently dealing with Hilchos Avelus. As I said at the very outset, I will not talk about the Kitsurim primarily because I think that they, for the most part they should be ignored, but I would draw your attention to three Svarim that are not in that category. One is a second volume of the Kolboy on Avelus. Every Rav is acquainted with the Kolboy on Avelus. The author has made a Chelik Sheni in which he develops upon many of the themes discussed in the first volume. There's additional material as well as topics and problems discussed in the Chelek Beis that are not in Chelek Aleph that may have been printed once upon a time. I don't know. But in recent years, I do know that it became available on the market, and I had never seen it before, and I found that to be valuable. In addition, there are two other works that are even more important than the Kolbe and Avelus, at least from my perspective. One of them is called Pnei Boruch, and the other is called Zifrei Meir. These are both significant and weighty works on Hilchos Avelus. And then, of course, there is marriage, Chuppah Kiddushin. The classic, at least as far as I can tell in the field, is called Shulchan Ha'ezer. It's not a new sefer by any means, although it's recently republished. It's a Hungarian work, and if there is any chumrah extant any place, it will be recorded there. It's also important for a number of other reasons. It has a significant section devoted to Shatronim and Shatronen, Shatronus. So if Rabbonim are instrumental in a Shidduch and they want to know how much they're entitled to as a fee, it's certainly a source that should be consulted. If you want to know sources with regard to whether it is proper or not for a divorced couple to be unterführer at a wedding, the Shulchan Ha'ezer is the place to look. The later compendia, to a large part, relied upon the sources quoted in the Shulchan Ha'ezer, but there are other sources as well. In recent years, a number of Va'af sets have been published. One is called Inve HaGefen, and the other is called Nisuin Kielkosan. Those are the standard compendia that are available today dealing with all the problems related to marriage. Then there is a sefer, one of a number of svarim written by the late Getzel Ellenson, Zochrono Livracha, Nisuin Shaloi Kedas Moshe the Israel, that is dedicated to his wife, whom he says he married Kedas Moshe the Israel. But this is a work not for the standard Kasnas and the standard Shilas, but for the Shilas that are not standard and are not usual. And then, of course, there is the only one that I will talk about in the general Mishpat Ivri field, and that is Freiman Seder Kiddushin V'Nisui, and I'm ignoring the others because I don't think that they're valuable for Rabbonim. Freiman is valuable not for Piskei Halachot, but Freiman is valuable for the historical material that he presents. If you want to know about civil marriage, when civil marriage was instituted, where it became a problem, the Aguna problems of the modern age, etc., etc., a lot of that material is found in some of the chapters in Freiman's volume, Seder Kiddushin V'Nisuin, that was reprinted in recent years. Gerus. Unfortunately, until very recently, there was no sefer, at least none that I'm aware of, that dealt with Hilchos Gerus in any comprehensive manner. And in fact, there still aren't. But there are two volumes that I would recommend. One of them is Chukas Hager of Reb Moshe Halevi Steinberg. He was he is Yibod L'Chaim Tovim, a nephew of the brother of the Chronel of Roche, and he wrote a number of small svarim. Chukas Hager is one of them. He wrote another sefer, which is more historical in nature, on Gerim in Jewish history. The Chukas Hager is in the form of a kitzur, and I said I wouldn't talk about kitzurim, only he provides footnotes and sources for every one of his Piskei Halacha, unlike many of the authors of Kitzurim, and those are extremely valuable. He also has a collection of tshuvas in the end, including one very interesting tshuva: if you have a ger who is a vegetarian, can you be mekabel him? Or since he refuses to eat meat on yontif, is this somebody who is being mekabel kol ha'terekula chutz mi'mitzvah echad, and is that enough to disqualify him as a ger? I quoted that tshuva in a footnote to my article on vegetarianism. Then there is another little, this is one of the valuable svarim of Rav Schwartz, and I said that would be an exception that I would make with regard to my recommendation of Kitzurin. He has a very small of a svarim or small, a little sefer that came out, I think, just more a year or so ago, called Madrich Leger, which is also a significant sefer. I think that the first is more important, but they're both small and relatively inexpensive, and I don't know of anything else that deals comprehensively with Hilchos Geirus, but the only sefer that is in the form of a monograph on Hilchos Geirus that I can recommend. Of course, the Indian problems of adoption, and particularly Geirus in association with adoption. Here again, there is very little that I can recommend in terms of a sefer. There have been things that have been published with regard to adoption, the shilas associated with adoption. I think that there is a tape available on the fourth floor dealing with shiurim in I don't know what they call these things anymore. It's halachah l'maaseh, the fourth year smicha. But anyway, there's a series of four on issues, and I devoted at least one of them to a discussion of adoption, the shduki asufi, geirush shilas associated with adoption. But as far as a sefer is concerned, the only thing that I'm aware of is a sefer called Likutei Meir that was written by Rabbi Meir Steinberg. I believe he was a brother of the brother Rav. He was a dayan in London Beis Din, and I recommend that with a caveat. There are statements made in that sefer Piskei Halacha with which I have acted not in accordance with those Piskei Halacha, particularly with regard to how one should write the name of an adopted child in a ksuba. But there is, again in that sefer, a collection of sources in the footnotes, and the footnotes are extremely valuable, Mara Mekremis, to various tshuvas dealing with problems associated with gerus. Even, for example, the shaila of whether a woman who becomes pregnant and she is unmarried, and you have what is potentially a shtuki pshailas of taras mishpoche. At home, I have two full shelves filled with svarim on Hilchos Menida. And that does not include the kitzurim that I'm not recommending, because those I keep someplace else and don't look at. That's another shelf of kitzurim. I stopped buying svarim on Hilchos Menida after I filled the two shelves, because if I have a shaila, I don't have time to look anymore. I mean, there's a limit to how much one can go through. And it seems that a month doesn't go by without a new significant sefer on Hilchos Menida. I'll just give you a list of some of the... made in the form of a Mishnah Berurah on Hilchos Menida, and it certainly is a very valuable sefer. I don't intend to deprecate it in any way if I say that I find equally valuable, perhaps more valuable, a sefer called Kutei Halachos, which are also only two volumes out thus far. They appeared almost simultaneously. The Kutei Halachos, I don't remember the name of the Makandra anymore, but Makandra is the one who has republished Offset, many of the tubers of the last two generations. Sometimes I don't even remember their name.
I'm sorry.
Even before the
my reading of publications, however, Rabbi Cohen sort of offset many of the issues that appear in the 1800s, early 1900s, and the so-called photocopies. It made this play for the new day authors on that play. Rabbi Cohen has the first serial. Rabbi Cohen to be by far the best author. There have been times when I have walked into the conference table. The Harvard Library, particularly in Europe, and Rabbi Cohen has passed in his library and was more than happy to allow me to go around the corner to make Xerox copies, so that he is a very valuable resource in himself. But to return to the story of myself with Nevis, in addition to those two, which I consider to be the most valuable, there are a number of others, including the T.A. Mikahara, the Halacha and Mishpacha, and now over Bavad Yisrael, two volumes on entitled Taharat Habayit, that when they appeared created a furor with regard to a number of Pisgei Halacha, which he has there. I don't want to talk about them in any great length because they're not terribly significant as far as I'm concerned. The furor isn't terribly significant as far as I'm concerned, particularly his coolness with regard to Hesed Tarek, after Shkia. He is after all Sephardi, and he holds on a lot of according to the Havre, by the way, Rabbi Nadab, and there's no great Shidush if he is Mako in a Hesed Tarek. In any event, the Taras Habayim, both volumes, are certainly very important in terms of Philip's legal. And if one is talking about Taras and Shlocha, I suppose that means directly the story dealing with what, for lack of a better term, I will call Choy Vat Noshi, story dealing with women mitzvahs. Most of these don't deal with questions such as office or women's prayer or women's prayer groups, but they deal with much more fundamental questions. And there are now a whole, there's a whole group of Svarim dealing with slavery regime. And again, I remark this as a sign of Ashradora. There are that many more women who are concerned with human mitzvahs and are asking Shilas, particularly with regard to mitzvahs in a specific prerogative of women. And you have a whole list of Svarim beginning with how we could say so. Aloh Kilpeh Bas Yisrael, Uchidoshi, Mekor Chayim Bebeleis Yisrael, and another sefer called Gilchus Noshim, not to speak about the three valuable stories of Petra Elton in this area, called the Yishuv HaNitzvah, Tat Molechev, Ish, the Yishuv. Those go beyond the Rai Halakha, although they deal with Halakha topics as well, and all of those are tremendously significant with regard to the obligation of women. Of course, there are individual topics that are dealt with in other ways that do not appear as a full story and don't appear in periodical literature or as truths or articles in other compendia, but insofar as business of women in general is concerned, these would be the most significant. And I suppose, again, that means directly deals with Yichud. There is one sefer in Hilchos Yichud that I think is extremely important, that's called the Dvar Halacha. Again, I'm reading out the small compendium which has appeared, but the Dvar Halacha is a major work on Hilchos Yichud. I'm sorry, do you want to listen? V'yishuv ha'mitzvos, tat melecha, ish v'ishta. And finally, with regard to these in general, there is one other major topic, which again, Ashadara, there are many people now who seem to be much more sensitive to questions of ribbis than ever before. For one reason or another, people who are otherwise observant, trained, shlemi, seem not to have been aware of problems of ribbis in all kinds of commercial transactions, and now they've begun at Shilas Noah's ribbis. They certainly realize that things that they have been doing as a matter of course for years present significant problems. I'm sure that has contributed to the mushrooming of Lori's and Hilda's ribbons, of which, by my count, there are at least half a dozen. And I'll list them for you. The Bris Yehuda, which is regarded as a classic, one of the first in an analytic way. There is another sefer, very important in terms of Hilchos Nidah. And if one is talking about Taras HaMishpacha, I suppose that indirectly is really dealing with what, for lack of a better term, I will call Chai Vat Loshi, story dealing with women mitzvahs. Most of these don't deal with questions such as apostles or women's affairs or women's prayer groups, because they deal with the fundamental question. And there are now a whole, there's a whole group of Svarim dealing with Svarim's machine. And again, I regard this as a kind of Ashradora. There are that many more women who are concerned with human interests and are asking Shilas, particularly with regard to women in a specific prerogative of women. And you have a whole list of Svarim beginning with how people say Svarim, Allah Hilf is back. And another sefer called Hilchos Nashim, not to speak about the three valuable stories of Ketel Elf in this area, called Vahisha Vahanitzvah, Tatsalecha, Ish, Vahishta. Those go beyond the Rai Halakha, and all the Hil Halakha topics as well, and all of those are tremendously significant with regard to the obligation of women. Of course, there are individual topics that are dealt with in other ways that do not appear as a full story, and don't appear in periodical literature or as truths or articles in other compendia, but insofar as pictures of women in general concern, these seem to be the most significant. And I suppose, again, that we directly deal with Yichud. There is one sefer in Yichud Yichud that I think is extremely important, that's called the Dvar Halacha. Again, I'm leaving out the small compendium which have appeared, but the Dvar Halacha is a major work of the Yichud. I'm sorry, do you want to hear? Yishu v'hamitzvahis, tak melecha, ish v'ishto. And finally, with regard to these in general, there is one other major topic, which again, actually, there are many people now who seem to be much more sensitive to questions of ribbons than ever before. For one reason or another, people who are otherwise observant, claiming, seem not to have been aware of problems of ribbons in all kinds of commercial transactions, and now have begun at China's business ribbons. They suddenly realize that things that they have been doing as a matter of course for years present significant problems. I'm sure that, that has contributed to the mushrooming of Lori and Hilchos Ribbon, of which, by my count, there are at least half a dozen. And I'll list them for you, the Gris Yudin, so I hope you speak about them. It's one of the problems that I've been seeing probably already half a dozen times as the mushrooming of publication. But there's a downside to all of that. And that is that I have discovered that if you don't buy a sefer within the first several weeks after publication, you can forget about buying it because it becomes, for all kinds of purposes, a yakar of mitzvahs as if it was published 300 years ago and it's no longer available. Typically, these things, I told by the publishers, are published in runs of 2,000. And any sefer, I'm told, will sell 2,000 copies regardless of its quality, and they don't reprint, it's printed, and that's it. So if you don't happen to come across the sefer of the Major's Glory shortly after it's printed, your chances of finding it are reduced dramatically. And there are many stories that have been published over the last several years that I would cheerfully pay virtually any price for, and they're just not available for any sell. Usually, but the only thing you can do with it is Xerox it. And that leads to a different shaila, namely whether it is permissible to Xerox materials in violation of Xerox laws or maybe in violation of the Vishnu Halacha. And for that, there's a sefer. It's called Sefus Yetzri. It's a sefer that deals with copyright in Halacha, patents in Halacha, and I'm happy to announce I finally received. The other is called Titain MS Liakos, which I have renamed Titain Sheker Liakos, because there is a little kuntis there that has some 65 chubis, each one dealing with a separate program, and lo and behold, all of the things that we thought were serious, all the lies that we thought there was something wrong, he turns out to have a head there for just about every one of them, including a very beautiful little story that is repeated name of Rabbi Zvi Hoffman. Apparently, Rabbi Zvi Hoffman, the author of Mabul Mahil, used to take a nap at the end. And when somebody came to speak to the Rav, the Rebbe would answer that the Rav is preparing the shear. And the Mabul Mahil is reported to have said that his sleep is part of the preparation for the shear. He's not rested. He can't say the shear, so that it's not a lie to say that he's preparing the shear. The other remarkable answer that I found there is a kind of a general blanket answer to why things when you don't want to tell the truth. And the author of the Tshuva says that if a person asks information that he's not really entitled to, you have no obligation to answer. But if you will tell him that you don't want to answer, he will be insulted. And therefore, you can lie if you want to give him misinformation because he's not entitled to the information that he has requested. In any event, Talmidim have told me Hebrew, Kovet Obein, one is the cover of one is Feldman, the other is Litvak, and the other one has a slight variation. Instead of Kovet Obein, it's called Hebrew Obein by Rabbi Yosef, and the other is called Hebrew Umayro. But those are variable sources, including questions such as whether a child can go study there in the soil against the wishes of a parent, I suppose by extension of the African home, when there is war lurking over the horizon, or they have a right to ignore a parent and to stay there in the soil, you couldn't find material dealing with all in that area. I've left out material dealing with kosher clothing completely, because A, you're aware of them, B, there isn't too much to say. But there is one thing that everybody should be familiar with, and that's Moshe Kosher Kanai. The author was Moshe Kosher Kanai. It's not a Hasidic writing. It is written by Rob Levinger, who used to be a professor, I believe a veterinary in my profession. He is now the role of the Basel. He is a Talmud and a person to be reckoned with in his own right. But this is essentially an encyclopedic work. It's all the words that are kosher. You will find it in the Moshe Kosher Min Achai in picture. If you, a few years ago, the Halev controversy, if you wanted to know what all that was about, there are stories written on Halev. I'm ignoring those. Hardly probable. But there are the what I found to be the most valuable source for understanding what was all about was a chapter in Moshe Kosher Min Achai. And more recently, there has appeared a small volume dealing with Bishul Akum. It's called Bishule Neifrei, for the book. That is devoted entirely to Shilas of Bishul Akum, with which most Rabbanim are somewhat less familiar, because that second volume appeared there, which for some reason isn't on the syllabus of most Jews. And of course, as far as Rabbanim are concerned, how can one possibly ignore a statement such as Rabbanus Ukehilo? Or something like Share Beit HaKnesset, dealing with problems associated with the shul. I suppose I should go back. It's but there is a paper called HaKadosh. And everybody knows that the most important area of Halacha is Kaddish. Where do I want to get those values and make values in Kaddish? Including a chapter dealing with Kaddish by women. Most of the sources are cited there, not all of them, were chosen by Rabbeinu, but one of the sites is that paper. But it's a remarkable work dealing specifically with the Kaddish. I suppose that I should say something about Shabbos and Yotzit. How can one ignore Shabbos and Yotzit in terms of Halakha? And there are more stories published dealing with Shabbos and Yotzit that one could possibly enumerate in one session, but in addition to the Shmir Shabbos Yotzim two volumes, you ought to be acquainted with a paper. There's a paper called Halakha Simlayat Imanilvus Yotzim, and of course, Chidush Kehil Kosoi. Kosoi dealing specifically with Chidush Self. And in terms of Brachis, There's a paper called Tilaki Hokosa, one called Aitse Birkat Panitsa, and a very valuable paper by Daniel Krauss in England on a rough general called Mekor Abrah. It's a thin little paper, but it deals with the modern trends, particularly with regard to food products that were unknown in earlier ages. And I suppose when I talk about Jewish food, also I should mention the second paper called The Oris Biurim Colon Kiddush Vihabdol. A second paper dealing with Kiddush, but with Abdol as well. And I suppose that I'll conclude with one more paper. And that is an important paper, the history of Halacha, that I had for years been trying to find sources with very little success. Little paper called Nitzi Kitab Leim Nitzi Nitzi. And I simply won't dwell upon all the shyness we see there that are presented on a very great way to find sources dealing with me there. Here is a very little paper by the Mara McCamus, a collection of materials dealing particularly with the Lifayim. I'm running out of time. I was asked to leave time. Lifayim Erlesikai Mishra. Who knows? I can't remember all. It's hard enough to remember the title.
I don't know. I can look it up for you. I simply don't know.
Not that I forgot. I never knew. The safer is on the shelf. It's called my cottage. And as I said at the very beginning before you came, I regard, again, my caveat. All of these I regard as valuable for the Mara Mechemes. So that who the author is makes very little difference to me. I use it simply for sources to be able to go back to the Mechemes, to the Rishonim, to the Achronim, the Tshuvos, etc., etc. Sorry? You're worried about the time. I haven't spoken about the Tshuvos story. I have assumed that everybody knows about the Tshuvos story, and that would take another session. I have ignored the Tshuvos story, as I said at the beginning. I've dealt only with the monograph, the stories that are devoted to particular areas of halacha. Which are the significant channels of Tshuvos? I mean, I'll be happy to do it, but it'll take me at least another half an hour. Those are different kind of literature. I want to make one further comment. That's the a remarkable work dealing specifically with the context. I suppose that I should say something about Shabbos and Yom Kippur. I'm going to ignore Shabbos and Yom Kippur because of Halacha, and there are more stories published dealing with Shabbos and Yom Kippur than one could possibly enumerate in one session. But in addition to the Shmir Shabbos and Yom Kippur two volumes, you ought to be acquainted with a paper. There's a local, I say for both a local similarity, my new conjunctive, and of course, Kiddush Kehil Kosoi. Kosoi dealing specifically with Kiddush self. And in terms of Brochid, there's a paper called Tilaki Hokosa, one called Aitse Birkat Anitse, and a very valuable paper by Daniel Krauss in England on a Brocha general called Mekor Abrocha. It's a thin little paper, but it deals with modern chapters, particularly with regard to food products that were unknown in earlier ages. And I suppose when I spoke about Jewish food also, I should mention the second paper called The Oris Biurim Colon Kiddush Vihabdol. A second paper dealing with Kiddush, but with Abdol as well. And I suppose that I'll conclude with one more paper. And that is an important paper in the history of Halacha that I had for years been trying to find sources with very little success. Little paper called Nitzei Kitera Leim Nitzei Nitzei. And I simply won't dwell upon all of the shyness that we see there that are presented on a very regular basis, and it's very difficult to find sources dealing with me there. Here is a very little paper by the Mara McCamus, a collection of materials dealing particularly with Nitzei Nitzei. I'm running out of time. I was asked to leave time. Who knows? I can't remember all. It's hard enough to remember the title. I don't know. I can look it up for you. I simply don't know. Not that I forgot. I never knew. The safer is on the shelf. It's called Akadi. And as I said at the very beginning before you came, I regard, again, my caveat, all of these I regard as valuable for the Mara Mekemet. So that who the author is makes very little difference to me. I use it simply for sources to be able to go back to the Makairis, to the Rishayim, to the Afreni, the Chuvis, etc., etc. Sorry? You worry about the time. I haven't spoken about the Chuvis story. I have assumed that everybody knows about the Chuvis story. That would take another session. I had ignored the Chuvis story as I said at the beginning, in the software package. But who has it? We don't have it. It's not available in the library across the street. The commercial is that if the rabbinic alumni want to perform a service for themselves, these are rabbonim. Rabbonim have shalas and halacha. Rabbonim need the sources. This material ought to be available in this institution of all institutions. If Teruah Mada means anything, then it should certainly mean harnessing what science and technology has made available for use in research in Mikzoi Tatere, and it seems to me that this is a worthwhile project for the rabbinic alumni. The financing is not all that great, and the rabbinic alumni is willing to undertake that as a project. I have a check for $100 for anybody who will take it from me.